Thank you, Geoffrey, for that introduction, and thank you for your very warm welcome. Right at the outset, I want to express my appreciation for your help, encouragement, and support over the last 4.5 years as I have endeavoured to represent the people of Northern Ireland as their MEP. As someone who spends a considerable amount of time outside Northern Ireland, it's always good to be back among friends and colleagues here at the DUP conference. While I enjoy going to Brussels and Strasbourg, there really is no place like our wee country. And when I look across this room, it is a great encouragement to see more and more people in this hall. All the evidence is right before our eyes. The DUP is growing year on year, getting stronger all the time. It is a huge privilege and responsibility to represent the whole of Northern Ireland and to use the platform given to me by the people to work on their behalf. I thank the party for placing their faith in me, and I'm delighted for the second time to accept the nomination to fight the forthcoming European election. For me, politics is really all about making a difference in the lives of the people I represent. So whether it's in Northern Ireland, Brussels or Strasbourg, my record will stand up to scrutiny. My business is serving the people. That's why next year I'm looking forward to the election campaign and the verdict of those that matter, the people of Northern Ireland. Unlike the Eurocrats in Brussels, I'm not afraid of the verdict of the people. When I became an MEP in 2009, my task was clear: to re-establish a strong DUP voice for Northern Ireland in Europe. For 2 years prior to being elected, the DUP had no presence in Brussels and no European constituency office in Northern Ireland. There was no staff to inherit, no expertise to guide me in the complexities of the European institutions, a political system so very different from the Council Chamber, Stormont or Westminster. It was a clean slate, a fresh new start. But we met the challenge head on, like those who went before me, and despite the overtures of political groups within the European Parliament, I chose to remain an independent MEP, a free and unfettered voice in Parliament on behalf of the people. Some would have you believe that this means that you have no influence, no power, and no say. They clearly underestimated Diane Dodds. By remaining an independent member, I always speak and vote in the interests of Northern Ireland. For me, my sole responsibility is to work for Northern Ireland and champion our cause. For me, that cause is too important to be slumbering in the bars and tea rooms of the European Parliament while waiting instructions from my political master, whether they be a German communist, a French federalist, or an Austrian socialist. And I believe, conference, on your behalf, I have made my mark in Brussels. In the European Parliament, my record stands head and shoulders above the other two MEPs for Northern Ireland. At the end of this term, I am on course to be ranked in the top five UK MEPs for parliamentary activity. Since being elected, I have made extensive contacts across the Parliament and Commission. I don't just boast about my contact book, I use it. I have worked to remove obstacles facing PMS savers in Europe as they sought to recover their money. I have worked to secure a new peace funding programme. I have helped secure our regional aid status, allowing us to continue to attract foreign direct investment and create jobs. I have highlighted, alongside other MEPs, Christian persecution across the world. And I have hosted two international seminars focusing on spina bifida, an issue that you know is close to my heart. I sit on the steering group of the single seat campaign that is making great progress in ending the Strasbourg travelling circus that wastes 200 million euro every year. Let me make it absolutely clear that the scandalous waste of money in Europe is an outrage. Representatives sent to Europe ought to be wise when it comes to expenditure. It's not Europe's money, it's the people's money. As Northern Ireland's voice in the European Parliament, I was not prepared to stand by when Sinn Féin sought to romanticise their tale of the hunger strikes to a Brussels audience. I was delighted to stand against such base, offensive behaviour and succeeded in getting it barred from the meeting rooms of the European Parliament. The DUP will not be found wanting when it comes to challenging those evildoers who seek to rewrite the past. It was wrong then, and it is wrong now. Conference, so much in Brussels is based on networking. And when I was asked by the President of the Parliament to sit on the Conference of Presidents, the highly influential Business Committee of the European Parliament, it assured me that I was getting the job done and had established the respect of my colleagues. This was a first for any Northern Ireland MEP and a feat even more noteworthy when you are an outspoken Eurosceptic. I am unashamedly a supporter of national sovereignty, totally opposed to the concept of ever closer European integration. Being a Eurosceptic doesn't mean you have to go to Brussels to antagonise people, offend, only pursuing a wrecking agenda while offering nothing positive and constructive. That doesn't work for Northern Ireland. The approach of the DUP to the EU is one of simple common sense. It is common sense to want our own national sovereignty protected. It is common sense that laws made locally are more mindful of the needs of local people. It is common sense to want a British system of justice having sovereignty in this part of the United Kingdom. It is common sense to want to control our own borders. And it is common sense to get back out as much as we pay in. But conference, it is also common sense to want our businesses to benefit from the single market, to work alongside partners across the EU in research, development and innovation, to have healthy, cordial relationships with our neighbours in Europe. Since the European Union's inception, this has been the DUP stance, We have consistently railed against the Brussels monolith, casting its shadow further and further over our land. We aren't the Johnny-come-latelys to this cause, but rather have led from the front consistently from day one. We look at the Europe of 2013 and say it wasn't meant to be like this. In 1975, 67% of the voters in this country chose to remain within the common market, a union which at that time was about the simple cooperation between European neighbours, especially in terms of trade. Today, however, we see a landscape and an EU that is vastly changed. Over the past three decades, there has been a steady transfer of powers from our sovereign parliament at Westminster to the champagne soirees in Brussels and Strasbourg. Our businesses, consumers, farmers and fishermen are all suffocated by red tape and regulation that continues to emanate from the EU. On immigration, we no longer hold the power to effectively control our own borders. Social affairs and justice are but two of the other policy areas that continued to be steamrolled by a relentless EU machine. The UK is a net contributor to the EU. We pay more into the EU than we get back out. Take the structural funds. The UK will have contributed £29 billion between 2007 and 2013. We will receive back only £8.7 billion. In Northern Ireland specifically, this means that taxpayers get back £1 for every £1.58 that they put in. Now that's a poor deal for the people of Northern Ireland and something that must be changed going forward. And then, conference, there are the proposals that beggar belief. Some of them are really laughable. Only a few weeks ago, the European Commission outlined proposals for the standardisation across Europe of rules around the flushing of toilets. This after 3 years of studying user behaviour. Yes, and for all you men in the room who have taken Saturday off from your housework, brace yourselves. The bad news is they want to make your vacuum cleaners less powerful. Have they really nothing better to do with their time and our money? Conference, you get a flavour of why the relationship between the United Kingdom and the EU has gone so sour. That is why the DUP believes that now is the time for the United Kingdom to have our say on membership of the European Union. The political class says, the political class says that consent for our membership is wafer thin. The reality is, we never signed up to this. Alongside like-minded Conservatives at Westminster, it is this party who are co-sponsoring the referendum bill, a bill that will enshrine a referendum in law. We aren't just making plenty of noise about a referendum. The DUP is in the business of securing a referendum. Hard reality is we need a new relationship with our European neighbours. The Prime Minister wants to take powers back. We welcome and support that commitment and wish him well in his endeavours. But we also say that tinkering around the edges will not do. When it comes to getting powers back, the crumbs from Angela Merkel's table will not satisfy the British people. Substantial renegotiation is needed. We want to see a new Europe that strengthens our trading prospects and isn't obsessed with rules, regulation, and red tape that all too often strangle enterprise, creativity, and freedom. One that isn't about closer union and the European superstate. This party wants to see the Prime Minister succeed in delivering real and meaningful change in our relationship with Europe. As part of the United Kingdom, we have a vested interest in seeing a successful conclusion to those discussions, and we will do all we can as a party to strengthen his hand in those negotiations. In the interim, I want to continue my work in Brussels of limiting the negative impact the EU has on Northern Ireland, while also maximising the benefits we can get from membership. Conference, I always work to ensure that Northern Ireland is to the fore in Brussels. If we are to learn anything from our neighbours in the Irish Republic, it is that constantly promoting the national interest pays dividends. I have sought to exploit every opportunity to showcase Northern Ireland to the rest of Europe, and I must thank my party colleagues for their help in doing this. Alongside the First Minister, Edwin and Arlene, we welcomed over 250 people to an exhibition and conference in Brussels showcasing our world-leading e-health agenda. And again, with Arlene, we welcomed almost 500 people to a tourism and food showcase as part of our Time, Our Place campaign. All of our executive ministers have been to Brussels since 2009, and I look forward to welcoming Simon and Edwin to Brussels next week. The DUP team has welcomed EU commissioners to Northern Ireland, and some of the highest-ranking European officials have visited the province to see our needs for themselves. The DUP is engaging with and lobbying Europe to a degree never seen before, and I welcome that. We are the only party who can link together Council, Assembly, Westminster, and Europe, and I believe we are doing this effectively for the betterment of Northern Ireland. For our farmers, a new common agricultural policy is now defined and will come into effect from 2015. I am the first DUP MEP to sit as a full member of the Parliament's Agriculture Committee. And while this has taken up much of my time in Brussels, it has been time well spent. I have worked tirelessly in Northern Ireland for our farmers. Public engagement has played a large part in this. I've held over 20 rural roadshow events. I decided to take an exhibition stand at the Balmoral Show and at the Agri-Industries Winter Fair, both firsts for the party. And over the last 4 years, we have spoken to thousands of people and distributed thousands of pieces of literature to highlight what is happening in Europe and the impact it has on life in Northern Ireland. For our fishermen, I am the leading voice for our local industry in Brussels. Through my work on the Fisheries Committee, I have authored two reports in relation to cod catch that actually go some way to helping our industry. Being constructive in Brussels can help deliver something better for Northern Ireland and for our fishermen. It is disappointing that those who shout the loudest about the negative impact of the EU voted against my reports. Let them explain that to the hard-pressed fleets in Kilkeel, Port of Ogie and Ardlass. But